God's physicians are always wounded healers. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life with Steve Brown, an honest and refreshing look at Bible doctrine as it applies to daily living. If you have a Bible, get it. And here's Steve Brown, the teacher.
Well, we're here. This is the last time for the next 20, 25 years that we're going to talk about pain and suffering, man. We have been doing this for weeks, and next week we're going to start back in our Old Testament survey and the book of Jeremiah. Now, if you were listening yesterday, I talked about my friend who'll only meet me in bars. Now, I don't drink. I'm afraid I'm going to hurt my reputation, that people are going to start gossiping about me and saying, I saw Steve in a bar the other. But he will only meet me. And if I'm going to meet him, I have to meet him there. And I suggested yesterday that God meets us in places we don't expect, and we have to go where he is. And sometimes the place where he is in a place of pain. You remember how God came to Job? Job's suffering was almost unbearable. He asked questions. He cried. He pouted. He complained. He tried to manipulate God. Most of us would have done that. The only response he got from God was silence. But when everything had been said, when Job was spent, when Job and his friends had used every cliche, when Job was silent, God came. Job's response to the God who came to the place of broken ropes. And if you want to find out what God said when he first came, it's kind of scary. Job had said, you speak to me and I'll speak to you and you'll answer. And God said, I will speak to you and you will answer. Where were you when I laid the foundation? And then follows two or three chapters of the most incredible questions ever asked. Job, in Job 42, 2 through 3 and then 5, if you have your Bible, open it, said, I know, talking to God, that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Was it worth it? Yeah, probably. I mean, if you were to come to Job and say, Job, you're one of the few guys that we know about any place who was able to see God, but you had to pay a horrible price for that. Was it worth it? I think Job would say, well, I don't want to do it again. I think Job would say, you know, except I lost my wife. She left me. That was a good thing. The rest of it was really bad. You remember at the beginning of Job, really encouraging wife said to him, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Well, she's gone, so they wasn't all bad. But after that, it was really bad. And Job would say, yeah, it was worth it. Just to encounter God, not an idol, not somebody's teaching about God, but God himself was worth it. And you do. You meet God at a place where the pain is. But when you do, let me tell you something. You'll notice when you're there, nail scars in his hands. You will see pain in his eyes, and you'll know that the reason he speaks with authority is because of the place of pain is his place too. Listen to what Peter said. This is 1 Peter 4:1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. Listen to Hebrews 5:8, and unless you're a Baptist, you can't find this before I read it, so just trust me. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And then Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. A lot of people who are going through pain and suffering don't have to be there. They came because somebody they loved was there and they wanted help. Some of those who came to that place didn't stay very long. They found that the idea of helping and the act of helping are two different things. Those who left early had come from their place of security and peace. They condescended to come and help. Their motives were right. They didn't leave early because their love was lacking or because their resolve was small. or because their compassion was inferior. They left early because their help was hollow and their words were empty. They would have stayed, but they just couldn't understand. And because they couldn't understand, they couldn't help. Let me read you some more from Job. Job 16:2-5, Eliphaz, in his second speech, was rather harsh. And then Job responded, he was really ticked. I've heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of wind have an end? Or what provokes you with that answer? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's place, I would heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would revive your grief. Job was right. Some people go to the place of broken ropes and are surprised to find Jesus there because he's a wounded healer. But let me tell you what he does. When you go there and you encounter the wounded healer, he says, now, you will be my wounded healer. Now I will use your pain in the life of other people who are going through pain. Now you will be like me. You will be a wounded healer. You'll discover that people who go to that place become a part of a secret society called the Order of the Broken Rope. You never know about it till you're a part of it, but the fellowship at the place of pain and suffering is one of the good things about your being there. Make you sensitive to others who are going through pain and suffering. Apostle Peter encouraged suffering fellow believers to remain, and this is 1 Peter 1:9, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. I'll tell you, I've never had a really horrible, horrible thing happened to me until my kid brother died. I mean, that was an awful time. I've talked to you about it before. It really hurt. I mean, my mother always said, now you look out for your little brother. And I had. I was so proud of him. He was a politician and a successful district attorney and would probably be the governor of North Carolina. I just loved him to death. And some of the most delightful times of my life were spent with my kid brother. Our daddy used to say, you know, I got one son who's a preacher and one son is a lawyer, and I can't get into any trouble that one of my sons can't get me out of it. And then my brother died on me, man. It was awful. It was just horrible. I even think about that place. I don't want to go there again. Now, my father had died before that, but my father had lived a pretty long life. And, you know, you hate that, but that's something you go through. And your mom, but this was big time bad for me. One of the really hard times in my life. You know what I discovered? I discovered that Larry Crabb's brother had died too. About the same age as my brother. Whenever I'm around Larry, he and I know some stuff that other people don't know. There's a fellowship there. Let me tell you something what happened. When my brother died, I started getting letters from all over the country from people who had gone through the same thing, who had lost people that died too young, who had gone through really hard pain and suffering. And I discovered something I didn't know before. Let me tell you what it was. It was that there's a fellowship of people who've been there. And it's a close fellowship, a fellowship you can't get any other way. When you go to the place of broken ropes, you'll find a fellowship, but a subtle and real separation from people who aren't there. Luke 6:47-49. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug a deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. In C.S. Lewis' The Great Divorce, the souls of the departed dead meet in heaven. Mother whose son had died on earth met a bright spirit who had been the woman's brother, Reginald. Reginald explained to his sister some of the important facts of heaven, how she could get there, and the woman simply couldn't see beyond the loss of her son in order to accept heaven and what it would take to see her son. Reginald went on to explain that her love for her son was wrong. She replied, "Oh, of course I'm wrong. Everything I say and do is wrong according to you." "But of course," said the spirit, shining with love and laughter, "so that my eyes were dazzled." That's what we all find when we reach this country. We've all been wrong. That's the great joke. There's no need to go on pretending that one was right. After that, we begin living. How dare you laugh about it? Give me my boy, do you hear? I don't care about all your rules and regulations. I don't believe in a God who keeps mother and son apart. I believe in a God of love. No one has a right to come between me and my son, not even God. Tell him that to his face. I want my boy. I mean to have him. He's mine, do you understand? Mine, 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 forever and ever. Well, that brings us to the close. You know, you can allow the pain and the suffering to give you self-righteousness, and you never meet God, and you never participate in the fellowship. Or you can go through it, and when it hurts really, really bad, don't be shallow and superficial. Cry out, ask your questions, find God, then hold your hand out to everybody else who's been there too. You guys can change the world. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have the booklet that we're offering, From Panic to Power, I'd love to send it to you free. If you're afraid and confused, searching, or doubtful, you'll like this. Or if you've got a friend you'd like to give it to, From Panic to Power, ask for it. It's free. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And it's absolutely free, and I mean that. From Panic to Power, if you can help us financially, oh man, I would appreciate it. And for any gift of any size, when you request it, I'll send you as my thank you the cassette teaching Forgiven and Forgotten. Are you still dealing with guilt in your life? This tape will help. And listen, be as generous as you can. If you can help us, you can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. Incidentally, Key Life is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They keep us honest. And we have a website, don't forget, www.keylife.org. Check it out. You'll like it. Hey, listen, I got to go. Give us the call letters of the station when you write or call. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.